Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night, ladies and gentlemen, to a new episode of Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. I'm Marcus.
I'm Audrey.
And today we have with us Caroline Zawi, a Brussels-based entrepreneur who uses mushrooms in the remediation of contaminated soil.
Hello, Caroline.
Hi, hello, Marcus. Hello, Audrey Fleur. How are you?
We are great, good thanks.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, thank you. To jump right in, what is your background and how did you get to do what you're doing, i.e. using mushrooms in soil remediation?
Okay, well, that's a long story, but to try to make it short, so I started studying biochemistry, and then I focused on microbiology. So basically my background is life science. I come from the life science. I got a PhD in life science in bacteriology. Back then I was looking at how bacterial communication could help improve the life of cystic fibrosic patients and trying to find alternatives to antibiotics. But then when I finished this PhD studies, I didn't really know what I really wanted to do, whether this was going to be continuing the classic postdoc path, academia, or doing something else. And it turned out that I got the chance to cross the path of entrepreneurs, Brussels entrepreneurs, who were having a consultancy office promoting sustainability and biomimicry, and they needed a microbiologist to work on a new project they had developed, which was trying to find natural ways, so bio-inspired ways to store carbon in order to have an impact on CO2 mitigation, so a carbon storage, basically. And this is when I discovered biomimicry. This is when I discovered all the aspects of sustainability. And from that day, then I continued evolving in this field. And this led me to meeting people, interesting people, inspiring people, and my now co-founder at Novobiome. So again, using mushroom is about looking at how nature does to solve the waste issue. Actually, waste is not really a thing in nature, but how does nature do to break down compounds when they are no longer in use? And some fungi, they play a very important role. And when you dig into this this mechanism, this story, let's say, then you realize that this way of doing could be applied to deal with contaminants in soil, contaminants in water. And so basically, fungi are really good at doing that. And we should really rely more on them to solve our pollution problems. And this is what led me to co-found Novobiome with a former colleague of mine.
Thank you very much. Super. Can you, you just talked about biomimicry. Can you explain to our listeners what is it exactly?
Biomimicry is about finding inspiration in the way nature works. So people might say nature with a big N, and well, we don't really know exactly what it is, but since we're scientists, at least most of us here today on that podcast, biomimicry is about acknowledging the fact that life exists on Earth since 3.8 billion years. So it's been a very long R&D experiment. Life has been experimenting many things. It's been ongoing since 3.8 billion years. And so therefore, everything has been tried, and this experiment keeps on giving innovation, inspiration, and how to design technical or even managerial solutions that are more aligned and compatible with the biosphere, at least how the biosphere works on this planet.
Okay, is it always linked to low tech?
Not necessarily. So either you can find inspiration from nature and try to mimic some processes. So it might end up that you're doing something very high tech, trying to mimic a process for your own purpose. You could also try to work with nature. That's actually what we are doing at Novobiome, because we use fungi to perform a certain job. So we make them do the work and we provide them the good conditions to do so. So in a way, it's a bit more low tech than the classical technologies, because by using these means, then you consume less energy for sure. So whenever you work with nature, it's not low tech, but at least it consumes or requires less energy than what you would doing high tech, I guess.
What kind of contaminants are you trying to grow out of the soil?
So for the moment, so we started the Novobiome adventure looking at how fungi can remediate soil. So that would be persistent, what people call persistent organic pollutants. So for the moment, we mainly focus on removing organic compounds, so hydrocarbons, so residues of the petrochemical industry, basically with the fungi. So that's our first aim, and it's also logical because it's one of the most occurring kind of pollution on the soil. So that is our main goal, but we try to expand also to metallic trace elements, which is something else. So here we do not try to degrade the contaminants, but we try to remove them from the soil so that we can gather them and make it easier to treat or store, basically.
Okay, you said that the fungi decompose the contaminants you're working on, you're trying to get out of the soil. Are these mushrooms edible afterwards, or are they not fit for human consumption?
Okay, so you have to imagine that classical bioremediation, because there are already biological ways that are on the market in order to remediate organic contaminants. Only they are limited when you have a very high load of contaminants. And so fungi, they have an added value in comparison. But basically, micro-remediation can be applied in a similar way. So that means you have a soil, you make a big pile of soil, what you call a biopile, and you inoculate, put the seeds of your fungi, let's say, in your pile. And we are not working with the mushroom. We are working with the network part of the mushroom, which is called the mycelium. So if you think of a tree, let's call this whole organism like a tree. The mycelium would be the roots, and the fungi would be the fruit of the tree, for example. Mm. So we work with fungi, but we do not lead them to create fruit. So basically, once the remediation is done, we no longer support the life of the fungi that we apply to the soil, or we stop stimulating the fungi that are in the soil. And so life continues. They may become the food source for another organisms anyway. So we do not get anything to eat or to pick afterwards. But that's true that environmentally speaking, it's better to work with the strains which are ubiquitous, so fungus species which are ubiquitous, known to be non-toxic. Yeah, that would be the best. That would not cause any detrimental health issues, for example. That's important.
Have you ever heard of people using wasted coffee powder to grow mushrooms? You know, when you use the coffee and you have your bottle left?
Yes, of course. It's been a very big thing, at least in Brussels. And I think in Belgium, there are also companies doing that in France. Well, it's also a nice way to use fungi and to create social entrepreneurship projects, let's say. So it's circular on so many levels. So you can use waste as a raw material to grow food. And you can do that locally on a very small area. So these are really nice projects.
Indeed. And is it a kind of mushroom you could use?
It could be. It could be, yeah. Some of the mushroom people like to eat, like button mushroom or oyster mushroom, they are known to be fungi that are capable of depolluting soil, filtering water, having a positive impact on detrimental bacteria in water. So yes, these are very useful microorganisms indeed.
Okay.
Okay. Which other plants, apart from mushrooms, could be used to increase your portfolio of natural remediation agents?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I talked about classical bioremediation. So it's about working with soil microbes already and trying to boost them so that you get the most out of their metabolic activity and therefore the biodegradation of compounds. So for us, of course, it makes sense not to just focus on one microorganism, but to, again, with the biomimetic mindset, to look at the big picture and recognize that the fungi, they evolve in a certain environment, here the soil environment, and they're meant to interact with the microflora, so the microbial populations present in the soil. So it would only make sense to further the development of our solutions, working together also with bacteria to start with. That would be a natural and a logical way to start. And indeed, if we want to work on very long-term remediation projects, not the one for which you have 3 to 6 months to remediate the soil, but for which you have more time, you could combine this approach, starting with fungi, giving a boost to bioremediation, and then working with plants for which we know they can accumulate metallic trace elements, heavy metals, for example, and take more time to remove the metallic contaminants from the soil. But I guess there's already quite much to do combining together fungi and soil bacteria. So I think we'll be pretty busy for the next 10 years, I think, with this. And we can achieve a lot with this duo, I think.
Oh, definitely. Let's now talk about you as a woman in STEM and expert in sustainability. Have you ever heard of the term ecofeminism?
So I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah. You did? Okay. Yes. So for our listeners, it's a term when people use gender concept to analyze the relationship between the human beings and the natural world. So my question would be, do you think that there is some legitimacy in it? What is your take on it?
Yeah, to start with, I think in the world of fungi lovers, fungi enthusiasts, there is a branch of people looking at ecofeminism through the angle of fungi, because these fungi are organisms which have importance in different cultures. Mm-hmm. So this is a topic I do not master well at all, but it's an important symbol for some people, from some group of people. Let's say that when you start looking at nature, when you come with this biomimicry approach, you in a way acknowledge that every being, living being on the planet, has their own biology, their own way of working. And in a way, it's accepting that we have somehow limits, that we can work at a certain pace, and that you find different organisms that have different ways of working together, but then that somehow end up working together, creating symbiosis, creating innovation. So in a way, you can understand this ecofeminism concept. I tend to put things in the bigger picture always. And of course, you can find that if you have that biomimetic approach to looking at your surroundings.
Okay. So what does sustainability mean to you?
So for me, sustainability means that whatever we do, we design, we aim at, we need to make sure that this is compatible with the mode of functioning within the biosphere. It has to be compatible in terms of resources, the way it is handled, thinking circular, for example. So for me, sustainability is kind of synonym to biomimicry, and it's also close to circular economy. These are really concepts that really go along together, and it's different ways to look at things. What I like more about talking about biomimicry is that it encompasses the ethos part, so there is more some an ethical aspect to it, and some sort of respect towards nature, which links, there is a link, I think, with ecofeminism also. So yeah, sustainability for me is being compatible with biosphere's boundaries and the way it works. These are limits.
Okay, that was sustainability in general. And what do you do in your private life to be more sustainable?
What do I do? So in terms of food, try to reduce the supplies we get from big supermarkets, and we try to favor community supportive groups, agriculture. We support groups of local producers, and we manage it together. So let's say there is no in between people, between the producer and the people who consume. So it's CSSA, community supported agriculture, right? I'm trying to look for that term. So we try to use that for the food we eat, and we try to reduce the use of processed food. So basically we try to find time to cook whatever we eat. In terms of mobility, I favor the train. My other half favors cycling. We haven't been taking any plane since, I don't recall when was the last time, probably 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah, that would be the most obvious thing, because really one flight just kills your carbon budget for a year. So
yeah.
So whenever I'll take the plane next, then I'll try to make sure that it's for a very long trip and for a destination at which I'm going to stay at least maybe a month or two, something like that.
Okay.
These would be the most obvious things.
Okay, well, that's already good, huh?
Absolutely.
To conclude.
Well, that's also what I do for work, basically.
Yeah, obviously. To conclude this interview, our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand with which you could do whatever you please over the next 3 years, what would you do with it?
What would I do with it? Maybe I'll change the mindset of the investors, at least the ones who go for impact investing, and hope that they would be willing to take the risk to invest in environmental biotechnology companies, for which we know it's kind of risky, but it's worth the risk. I mean, based on the challenges to face, well, it is riskier not to try to do something to help us go through the climate change challenges. So that I would really like to be able to convince people who have the means to fuel people with sustainable ideas, both in terms of environmental and financial sustainability, to go along with them and really focus on projects that can give financial return on a longer term than the ones they are used to. That would really, really help making an impact. Because there are many entrepreneurs out there that want to make a difference and bring some solutions to environmental problems, and also working with living things, with living organisms, is trickier than just one enzyme or one molecule. So, but it's worth the try. It's really worth it. So that would be my wish.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. That was a very interesting interview.
Thank you very much, Caroline.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.